This is Mark Langdon's Bets Club.
Well, welcome back to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. Jack Reeve and Mark Langdon back for a new year to guide you through footballing proceedings this week. Mark, how was Christmas and any New Year's resolutions?
Christmas was good. Managed to get a bit of time off after the World Cup, which doesn't normally happen really in this business too much. You know, Christmas is usually a hectic period. So that was nice. In terms of New Year's resolutions, not too many. I am determined to get outside more often. I do some running anyway, but I'm thinking in days when I'm not running, probably to go for a decent walk. Got a few hills where I live, and sort of at least go up them, because you can't go running every day, can you? From an injury point of view, I don't like the gym. So if I can get out and walking, and apart from that, I suppose I do feel like I probably just need to spend a bit more time with the kids, particularly the youngest. It's very easy to get sucked into football being on all the time.
These podcasts you do.
There's so much going on. But I think the main one is to try and get a level of fitness. I was thinking about Dry January. I'm not fully committed to it. But in terms of that, I've not had a drink since when was it? Sort of the 2nd of January, which was only earlier on this week. But my feelings were that I could probably go for the rest of January without a drink. We'll see how that develops over the rest of the month. How about you?
Yeah, well, I did it last year. I'm trying to do 5K a day in January to try and shift a bit of timber. So I did it last January and was okay. Legs are starting to get a bit sore after 5 days, but still going. And I'm also doing Dry January. And amazingly, I tried to do it last January and failed after about 10 days. So far, so good. I'm not even craving a beer, not even thinking about it. So that's
I didn't really think
stuff.
I sort of drank on the 2nd without really thinking about it, and I was like, I didn't massively like enjoy the drink. I was like, I can, if I just start on the 2nd, I can just do a month. So
I think it's often a habit thing, isn't it? You just drink, well, for me it's beer, without even thinking sometimes.
We shall see. I mean, I'm all right at the moment. Maybe in 2 weeks time, or when Spurs have been thrashed in the North London derby, I feel like I need one, but for now, well, 3 and 4 days and counting, going strong.
Absolutely. I suspect the New Year's resolutions of Frank Lampard and Nathan Jones will simply be to remain in their jobs. They're under pressure after the midweek fixtures, Everton losing 4-1 to Brighton, Southampton losing yet another game, this time at home to Nottingham Forest. Mark, we'll start with Nathan Jones, because we spoke about him what feels like last week, having been appointed for Southampton. You were dubious about the decision, and it's not been going too well for him.
No. I'm not surprised it's been a difficult start for him. Just don't think he's as good as Hasenhüttl. And you could say that Hasenhüttl had just, his time had run out at Southampton and they needed some new ideas. But I mean, I always just look at, if somebody said to you, who would you rather manage the team from now until the end of the season out of those two, and you did like a poll, Hasenhüttl would win easily, wouldn't he? You know, just for just a random team. And Nathan Jones done remarkably well at Luton. But when he went to Stoke, it was, tough would be an understatement. I know other managers have struggled at Stoke as well, but terrible performance really against Nottingham Forest. It was a dreadful game. There was only one shot on target in the whole match, but Southampton didn't manage, one of those. It sounds like they played okay at Fulham on Saturday, but they are a team really that doesn't have anything up front. So that is difficult, but he's been messing around with the formation and where players have been playing as well. The one bright spot, I suppose, is that Lavia is back. I thought he was absolute shining light for them before his injury. So maybe if you can sort of get him and Ward-Prowse going in midfield, it gives you a chance. But It looks bleak for them, I think, in terms of staying up this season.
It does. I saw a Southampton fan and ITV Racing presenter Ed Chamberlain said it's one of the most toxic times he can remember at St Mary's. So needing things to change there. Everton fans will be hoping for change as well. They're struggling also in the bottom three, along with Southampton, Wolves, the other of the teams down there. And with Everton, Mark, it feels like problems run really deep.
Yeah, and they have done for about a decade. I mean, they've tried absolutely everything and nothing has worked. You know, they've had high profile managers, they've had up and coming managers. Even when they went for Ancelotti, he then left for Real Madrid, that I think sort of put them on the back foot. They've tried sporting directors, they've tried not having sporting directors, and they don't seem to get any better for anything. And I don't think there's a crowd that does booing better than Everton at the final whistle. It's become almost trademark, that sort of really loud boo.
I enjoyed the Gross, Pascal Gross goal. That it seemed like the Everton fans were almost booing before it had crossed the line. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, look, there was some hopeless play in that game. They got that point, didn't they, at Manchester City with the Damari Gray goal. On most days, they just lose that match if you look at the stats. You can't rely on scoring goals like that every week. I think the decisions this season have been bonkers. Sims, they let him go out on loan just before the season started, even though Calvert-Lewin was injured at the time and Rondon was suspended, wasn't he? And had nothing up front. And now I've no idea whether Sims will be good enough for the Premier League, but surely you don't let him go out on loan until you know you've got a replacement in. Just it's a mess. I mean, I know you've been negative about Lampard from the start. I mean, I've always been juries out, and I'm not sure that even a more experienced manager would be able to get that much more out of this Everton team. They're quite bad, aren't they? Maybe central midfield is one area where they're not absolutely terrible. Pickford in goal has his moments, but he's sort of better than most of the other players. But just got nothing up front. And I don't know if you listen to the Guardian Football Weekly this week. Troy Townsend, dad of Andros,
who's
obviously injured at the moment. They came to him asking about sort of the tactical work of Frank Lampard, and he went in sort of two-footed about it. So I was expecting him to play it down and just say, well, rough game and bad result and all that cliche, but he really went for him. So I'm not sure if Andros would have enjoyed that performance from his dad. But look, it sounds like Lampard's going to get this game against Manchester United in the FA Cup, but I think they've got to change something. And I mean, I think the most obvious choice would be to try to tempt David Moyes back, at least in the short term. I'm usually against short term appointments, but I could see some sense. The West Ham fans are not happy with Moyes anyway. I could see some sense in Moyes going back to Everton and keeping them up, and then them sort of looking for a next step another time. I mean, Wayne Rooney's among the favourites. I mean, he's sort of ticking along quite nicely as a young manager, but I don't know if you want to go to Everton at the moment. He probably wouldn't turn it down, but it's not a great place to be, is it? I look at the squad and just don't see enough quality in it.
No, I think you're bang on there. Sorry, Southampton and Everton fans, we've tried to give you some hope, but seemingly none to have at the moment. Let's go to the other end of the table where Arsenal are enjoying life. They're currently 9 points clear. At the time of recording, Manchester City do have a game in hand. That's on Thursday evening against Chelsea. Remarkably, though, Mark, they'll probably feel as if there could be more distance between the two.
Yeah, I mean, that was my mistake there, Jack. Actually, I'll put that on the running order. It's 8 points clear. So, yeah, they're 8 points clear at the moment. I mean, they'll see it as a missed opportunity against Newcastle, of course, but, to go 10 clear. But you can't win every game. And so I'm going to go into cliche mode here. If you can't win, don't lose. Keep that positivity around the place. I think it's fine, you know, to not to draw the odd game. And yeah, Newcastle are so strong defensively at the moment that yeah, it was always likely to be a narrow win if Arsenal were to get the victory. I mean, I disagree with the people that are saying that, you know, Arteta's losing his cool with the way that he's running around on the touchline. He's always run around like that on the touchline. I don't like it. I think that particularly when they play at home, he's almost on the pitch at times. And I actually think that it is off-putting for what turns out to be the the left winger, I think, on that side, sort of the opposing left winger. He's just constantly out of his technical area. But I don't think that's because he's losing, you know, control, or, you know, the pressure's getting to Arsenal or him. I just think that's the way that he is. And I don't think the pressure's got to them yet. Not to say that it might at some stage, but, you know, they've kept another clean sheet. I suppose the one thing would be that Nketiah didn't score that big opportunity that he had in the game. But, you know, even Gabriel Jesus, it wasn't prolific, was he, when he was sort of playing up front? You couldn't say, oh, well, Jesus would have scored that, because chances are he probably wouldn't have, the way that he misses his chances. I still think that, you know, having been negative about Arsenal in terms of them being able to sustain top spot sort of earlier on in the campaign, I think that people actually have gone too far now in thinking that they can't do it. I mean, you know, if they don't, it will be because Man City are just an exceptional team. I don't see any reason to suggest that they're going to bottle it or choke or you know, all of these kind of words that are often you know, thrown around. You know, I think it's an acceptable result to draw at home to what's a very good Newcastle team at the moment.
Absolutely. Arteta reminds me slightly. I had a youth team manager when I used to play football who loved screaming, "Keep your cool," while frantically sort of running down the touchline, and couldn't be losing his head more. And it was just the most beautiful kind of a difference in emotion.
Yeah. Calm down while going crazy. Yeah.
We mentioned Manchester City there. They travel to Chelsea on Thursday evening. You've been, you know, we all know what Manchester City are capable of. You've also been, I wouldn't say against the signing of Haaland, that would be too strong, but you did question whether Haaland would make Manchester City a better side. I guess with half of the season done, how do you assess them?
I don't think they're a better team for having Erling Haaland in it. You know, I mean, they've already dropped points in five matches so far this season. Manchester United have only dropped points in six matches. So I think that he's scoring a greater percentage of their goals, but that doesn't mean you're a better team just because one player is, you know, about to smash all kinds of goal scoring records. I feel that Manchester City were at their absolute best when they just controlled matches by having that extra midfielder in there. And occasionally, they would, you know, create all these chances and not score them. And you feel, oh, yeah, well, they just need a Haaland. But if you have a look at it, I think their control is slightly less now than it was. And that's not, I don't think they're a worse team for having Erling Haaland in it, but I certainly don't think that they're a much better team either. And this happened with Borussia Dortmund. He scored a load of goals for them, and yet the points tally of Dortmund didn't go up. And, you know, I think Haaland is such a unique and brilliant goal scorer, but there are only, you know, having him in the team means that there are going to be sort of weaknesses elsewhere. And I think that Man City are finding that at the moment. You know, they've conceded 16 Premier League goals in 16 matches, which if you look at sort of Newcastle, 11 in 18, Arsenal, 14 in 17, they've had a couple of injuries at the back. I know that, but, and Pep Guardiola will probably feel like they've been unlucky as well. That Damari Gray goal, for instance, is not one that, you know, you would expect to concede. But I definitely don't see them as being, you know, miles better for having Haaland in it. And I would like to see how they would get on with Alvarez as the striker for a while, because he obviously does a lot of really strong defensive work, as he showed for Argentina. Now, you can't drop Haaland. I'm not suggesting that they're a worse team with him. But like I say, I don't think that they're that much better with him, which is Crazy, really, when you consider how many goals he's scoring. And you know, individually, he's having a fantastic campaign. But if they don't win the league, and you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the Champions League, then becomes a failure, doesn't it, for Manchester City? So the pressure's all on them in the title race, and that could suit Arsenal.
Absolutely. Before we get on to the FA Cup fixtures and the outright market, let's have a quick word on your beloved Spurs, who returned to winning ways, and nice to see Kane on the score sheet twice as well.
Yeah, and you know, just calmed the kind of, you know, been a bit chaotic since the World Cup. I mean, they're 2 points behind Newcastle, and everybody has been talking about how great Newcastle have been this season, and they have. And I think the Tottenham's biggest problem has been the fact that Arsenal have been so good, and that is, you know, that is ramping it up for Spurs, because suddenly going, well, you know, why can't Tottenham play like that? The way that Arsenal are playing, that's not the way that Conte's going to do it. You know, the fans were in full support for Conte at Selhurst Park on Wednesday night. Were singing songs of, you know, about getting rid of the board and the ownership rather than Conte. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense to bring in someone like Antonio Conte and then not give him the funds that he needs to sort of challenge right at the top of the table. And if he says he wants a right wing back and, you know, Tottenham don't want to pay 40 million for one, then, you know, that's going to be a problem, I think, long term. But I don't think they're doing as bad as what some people are suggesting. And I've said this all throughout, haven't I? They've not been playing that well, but I've been pretty calm about where they are in the league table. And, you know, I don't think that we realistically should be expecting them to win the league. I mean, they're in the battle for the top four. And I think that's where Tottenham are. And I don't see any reason to think that they're having a particularly bad season because they're fifth.
There we go. That's the Premier League rounded up. Let's get on to some FA Cup action. Yes, it's FA Cup third round weekend, which means the big boys enter the phase. Let's take a quick look at the outright market. They're Manchester City favourite, 7-2. Liverpool, 13-2. 8, Arsenal and Spurs. 12, Newcastle and Manchester United. 14-1, Chelsea. Bigger the rest. Mark, it feels as if, well, certainly since I've been working at the Racing Post, you've had a fairly good record in the FA Cup. Where are you looking at in the early stages here?
Yeah, I mean, Arsenal, the year they won it under Arteta, also had some places as well. So, yeah, it is a competition I quite like. One of the reasons I like it is I think that the market is very stale. So it gets priced up, you know, at the start of the season, then it gets priced up again, you know, for the third round. But even since then, you know, a lot's changed. And so I was looking at Manchester United at 12-1. I'm thinking, you know, that's a pretty big price, really. I mean, if we look at what United are going to do this season, you know, they're challenging for the top four. They're in the quarterfinal of the EFL Cup. They've got Charlton at home on Tuesday. So I don't think they need to worry about resting players for that. They could be out of Europe. They've got Barcelona in the Europa League. So, and I think Erik ten Hag will feel like, you know, he wants to get a trophy on the board as quick as possible. 6 years now for Manchester United without a trophy, which is their worst run in 40 years. So I see them going all out in all areas. And the reason they're 12-1 is because this was priced up a while ago, and the Everton game that they've got in the third round looked harder than it does now. And, you know, this is a United team that's won 9 of their last 10 games this season. They've beaten Arsenal, they've beaten Tottenham, they've beaten Liverpool, they've drawn with Chelsea and Newcastle. So apart from that tonking they had at Man City, since Ten Hag has sorted the team out, that terrible start, didn't they, against Brighton and Brentford. But since then, they've been pretty good, I think. And, you know, he's got a settled team now in terms of the defence. All his decisions seem to be working out. You know, he dropped Rashford, then he brings him on against Wolves and he scores the winner. Luke Shaw looks very comfortable at left-sided centre-back. I think Casemiro's made a huge difference to them. Really, you can argue that it wasn't a value for money signing. But if you're Manchester United and you just want somebody to improve that midfield, I mean, Casemiro has just done that I think, a brilliant way. Him and Eriksen have got a good thing going. Got rid of Ronaldo, definitely the right call there. Anthony's shown sort of bits and bobs of not quite to the extent that you'd want from an £85 million player, but I think that the signs are there that he's getting better. I suppose it's just whether they've got that goal scorer, but Rashford has certainly stepped up in recent months. And look, they've had an easy run since the World Cup, haven't they, in terms of teams that they've played. But it's pretty obvious to me that they're improving. And so 12-1, when you've got, you know, teams like Tottenham at 8-1, even Liverpool 13-2, were one of my other teams that I did look at. I think, yeah, it's looking to me that Manchester United could well be the value bet, because you're going to lose one of Man City or Chelsea, probably Chelsea out of that bunch. And then if you go through the rest of them, Jack, I think Arsenal have got bigger things to worry about than the FA Cup. You know, the league being the obvious one there. Arteta's already won the FA Cup. I think Tottenham are maybe just a bit too inconsistent and just not a great price. They're 8-1 and United are 12-1.
Seems totally fair, Mark. In terms of teams at bigger prices, who takes your eye?
Yeah, I mean, we should just say, I think City are, worthy favourites in terms of that. Liverpool, it's the defence that worries me. Newcastle.
I see that Van Dijk might be out for a little while as well.
Yeah, well, he doesn't. He didn't look great, did he, against Brentford? No. Newcastle are fair runners, but at the same price as Man United, I think I'd prefer Manchester United. And then, so if there is to be one a bigger price, I was thinking about Aston Villa at 33-1. They've got Stevenage, who are obviously flying in League Two at the moment, but they're at home, so you would expect Villa to get through that game. They've got nothing else to play for. They're safely tucked away in mid-table. Unlikely to challenge for sort of the major European places via the league. So I think they can have a good go at the FA Cup. And I did say when Gerrard was managing Villa on this podcast that I thought they were the worst coach team in the league. And, you know, he was holding them back and making some bizarre calls. I just couldn't understand what they were trying to do. Now I'm looking at Villa. Unai Emery, obviously much more experienced coach. He's beaten Manchester United and Tottenham already. They were very competitive against Liverpool. Even that away win at Brighton looked strong when you consider how well Brighton have been going. And then you look at Unai Emery's record in cup competitions. He's won the Europa League 4 times. He won both cup competitions both times in both seasons in France. I know it's with PSG, but he still did that. Arsenal took them to a Europa final, went deep with Villarreal in the Champions League last year. And if it does go to penalties, Emi Martinez is probably about as good a goalkeeper as you'd want in those situations. I'm not sure about the way that he goes about it, but you can't argue with his record. So, yeah, 33-1, they might give you a decent run for your money. Because I was just looking at sort of the other teams there would be Brighton and Brentford. Brentford have got West Ham. Brighton, I mean, I think that game against Middlesbrough is just a bit tricky. And
Middlesbrough look really good under Carrick, yeah.
They do, yeah. And also, we don't quite know what De Zerbi's kind of attitude is towards the FA Cup, and that would be a slight concern. But they are two teams that are punching well above their weight. But I just thought Aston Villa might give you a decent run.
So Manchester United at about 10-1, Villa at 33s. Any other nibbles or just those two?
No, it would just be those two. But like I said, I mean, look, Man City are deserving favourites. And if they won it, you wouldn't be at all surprised. And actually, I don't think that Chelsea game is as hard as it looks like on paper either. So, I'd be probably betting each way and hoping to avoid Man City for as long as possible.
Okay, great stuff. That's the outright market. Let's get on to some of the televised FA Cup games this weekend. And we'll kick things off with Manchester United against Everton. I assume I know which way you think this one's going, Mark, but what's the bet for it?
Yeah, so I mean, I think you could just bet Man United to win the FA Cup and then you've got an interest in the game and hopefully going forward. But if you wanted something else, Maybe United to win and under 3.5 goals. 10 clean sheets in their last 14 matches suggest that, you know, defensively, they're much better than they were when they were getting tonked by Brentford back in August.
So that one's Friday, 8 o'clock on ITV. Let's talk about the 12:30 fixture on BBC One, which sees Gillingham host Leicester. How about this one, Mark?
Yeah, so again, Leicester to win and under 3.5 goals. I mean, Daka, Prayer, Madison, Pereira, Evans, Justin, Bertrand, Dewsbury Hall and Samare are all either out or big doubts for Leicester. So they're struggling at the moment, but it shouldn't matter against what statistically the worst team in the Football League at the moment, Gillingham, bottom of League Two. And this stat here, I had to keep checking it. They've scored only 7 goals in 23 league matches this season, which is ridiculous. Suggest they won't score against the Premier League outfit, but I'm not sure that Brendan Rodgers has got enough firepower at the moment to completely sort of, you know, put 5 or 6 on Gillingham.
Now, this is an interesting one. BBC One, 6 o'clock, Sheffield Wednesday hosting Newcastle. Now, you'd expect Newcastle to get this done, but Sheffield Wednesday need to be respected here.
They do. I'm beaten in 13, which is good news for me because I'm on them in League One. And I'm hoping they go out so they can just concentrate fully on League One. They've managed to get above Ipswich, and it's Plymouth for a team I hadn't really factored at the start of the season that are causing me some angst at the moment. But, you know, they are unbeaten in all these games in the league, but there's a big difference in ability to, you know, playing Cambridge to playing Newcastle, albeit that Cambridge knocked Newcastle out this time last year. Newcastle got that quarterfinal coming up in the EFL Cup against Leicester on Tuesday. So I'm wondering how Eddie Howe sort of sees the priorities, but I just think it'll be going all out to just, to win everything, at the moment. Can't pick and choose if you're Newcastle. 6 straight clean sheets. I thought Newcastle to be leading at half-time and full-time on the double result was the way to go.
You'll need to be flicking over to ITV4 if you wish to watch Liverpool against Wolves. Liverpool 3's on for this game, Mark. Would you be backing the home side?
Probably not. No, not one. Definitely not at those prices. I'll be watching the Masked Singer. So certainly.
Enjoyed last week's with Chris Kamara.
Yeah, absolutely. I got that one. My daughter, who had no idea who Chris Kamara was, I kept telling her that it was Chris Kamara. I was half asleep and I could just hear the voice. And I was like, it's Chris Kamara. And she was massively impressed when I got it right. But from this game, I was looking at Liverpool to win and over 2.5 goals because it plays really to the strength of sort of Liverpool, which is going forward. Also on that defence, you mentioned Van Dijk, and you don't really fancy them to keep clean sheets at the moment. I do wonder though whether Wolves have got their eye on that EFL Cup quarterfinal against Nottingham Forest, a much easier path in terms of, you know, getting to Wembley. And so I'm not sure they'll play at a full strength team. So there is the possibility that they take a hiding, which is why I prefer the Liverpool and over 2.5 rather than Liverpool and both teams to score.
OK, let's go on to Sunday's fixtures then. And offended, deeply offended that Norwich aren't featuring on the telly, but instead Cardiff against Leeds is the one selected by ITV. And where's your money going here?
I thought Leeds were very fairly priced. Cardiff, 20th in the Championship, don't score many goals. Jesse Marsh is under pressure, and I like that. When you're backing a team in the FA Cup, because we know that managers are going to make loads of changes. Like, he's fighting for his job as Leeds United manager, or at least in terms of in terms of winning over the fans who are still questioning many of these decisions. So I think he'll know that Leeds need to get a result in this game, because otherwise it just turns the heat back up again. And so they're only a shade of odds on. And I thought that was fair enough for, what's a Premier League team against a real struggling Championship one.
Up next, probably the highlight of the FA Cup fixtures, Sunday, 4:30, BBC One, Manchester City face Chelsea. Preview this one, please, Mark.
Yeah, Man City -1 on the Asian handicap. So if City win by 1, you get your money back. If they win by 2 or more, your bet's a winner. If they don't win, your bet is a loser. Chelsea carrying a lot of injuries at the moment. Of course, the two, as we've already discussed, they meet on Thursday in the Premier League. And I just wonder if Azpilicueta and Thiago Silva play in that game, are they going to be able to turn out again against Man City on the Sunday? And obviously the league, it has to be the priority for Graham Potter. I mean, they're down in 10th at the moment. Chelsea really need to get some points on the board as that they try to get back into the Champions League mix. I mean, I'm not sure what they're trying to do at the moment, Chelsea. I mean, in the paper last week in the Racing Post Jury, I said that they were the lay of the week against Nottingham Forest. Their XG is, decidedly mid-table. This is a team that's not in an unfortunate position. They desperately need Reece James and Chilwell back to give them that penetration on the wings. But even if they come back, I don't quite see who's going to score the goals for them. And I think this is an opportunity for Man City to really lay down a marker in the FA Cup.
Last game we'll be previewing in the FA Cup is Monday at 8 o'clock. Oxford taking on Arsenal. I guess the thing here for Arsenal and Mikel Arteta, Mark, is just balancing Premier League, workload with cup runs.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they've got the North London derby coming up after that game, but they didn't play, they played on the Tuesday, already a full week rest. I mean, not many managers like their players to go 2 weeks, almost without a game, because you can be undercooked. So really interested to see what team he puts out, and that will, that has to determine the bet. As it was going, I was looking at Arsenal and under 4.5 goals, only because I was thinking more along the lines of it being a Europa League game and sort of Europa League team from Arsenal. And only 11 goals were scored in their 6 Europa League matches. So if he does decide to rest a Saka or a Martinelli, have they got the goals in them, to really blow away Oxford? Oxford are not great. It should be a win for the Gunners. But I'm not sure they need to be chasing 5 and 6 goals in this game.
Okay. Well, if you're a fan of the EFL or Dan Charles, you'll be chuffed now because that's coming right up.
And now we're joined by the Racing Post EFL guru, Dan Charles, to discuss the curtailed coupon in League One and League Two, but also pick up some FA Cup bets that we've not discussed among the live matches. Happy New Year, Dan.
Happy New Year, Mark.
How many have you got for us this weekend?
I've got 2 FA Cup bets and 1 from the EFL.
Okay, let's start with the FA Cup because we've just been discussing the live matches. What are your 2 best bets there?
First of all, going to go for an all championship tie. Probably not the most glamorous. Reading at home to Watford, but I think Reading here have got a really good chance of getting through. I mean, Watford pulled off a remarkable victory, really, at Norwich when they were missing. They went into the game, they were missing 11 players, 10 injured and 1 suspended, Hassan Kamara. And then they picked up 3 injuries during the game as well. So they finished the game with 14 players out. They were magnificent in the match, worked really, really hard, wanted the game more than Norwich. But I think it was more down to Norwich being dreadful, really, than Watford being anything special. And I just don't think they're going to be able to, having lost another 3 players now, Watford. Kalou went off injured. Keenan Davis went off injured. He was having a great game as well. To lose another 3 players, I think it's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back, if you like. And I can't see Slaven Bilic, when you've got so many players out, if there's any doubts over players or if he wanted to protect, a couple of the big players like Ismail Assar, I can't see him risking them. He's going to be more bothered about keeping them back for the league games coming up. Reading had a pretty good Christmas period, 10 points from the last 6 games. And they've actually had having a pretty good season. When you think at the start of the season, low expectations, tight budget they're working with. A lot of people thought that, including myself, that they might struggle to stay up. They got past the halfway point and they're, a lot closer to the playoffs than they are to, I think 3 points outside the playoffs, 10 points clear of the drop zone. So having a really good season under Paul Ince, and I can see him winning this game against injury-ravaged Watford.
Okay, and you said you had another one in the FA Cup.
Yeah, going to go with Boreham Wood, National League, Boreham Wood at home to Accrington. Boreham Wood, look at around 2-1, looks a really good bet to me. They've already won, obviously had a fantastic cup run last year, didn't they? Got to the 5th round. Won 1-0 away to Bournemouth in the 4th round, ended up losing 2-0 at Everton in the round of 16. And they're going well again. They won at Bristol Rovers, which was a really tough tie for them in the 2nd round, 2-0. And I think this is a winnable tie for them. Accrington, under John Coleman, they're fifth from bottom in League One. They're facing a real battle, I think, to stay in the division. Only one win in their last 12 League One games. Got sort of injuries to key players, you know, hitting them hard at the moment. Joe Pritchard and Mitch Clark are the latest two that have in the treatment room. And I think they're going to struggle here away to Bournemouth. I think teams in the National League, I think there's not much of a gap now between certainly the League Two and the National League. A lot of strong teams in the National League. They're halfway up the National League, but I don't think that's any disgrace. They've already won at Bristol Rovers. I think they'll beat another League One side here.
And then finally, in the EFL?
Yeah, EFL bet. I mentioned Bristol Rovers there, you know, losing to Bournemouth in the cup, but they're playing away to Cambridge in League One this weekend as a result. And they're actually going really strong, Bristol Rovers, in the league. Got 26 points from the last 15 games after a sort of slow start to the season. That's taken them now. They're only 6 points off the playoffs. And if they kind of carry on that sort of average points take of, over the last 15 games, a shade under 2 points per game, it's going to take them quite close to finishing in them playoffs. I mean, it's no surprise they're going well, really, considering the firepower they've got up front. Aaron Collins, 13 goals. He's the joint top scorer in the division alongside Johnson Clark Harris. They've got Josh Coburn on loan from Middlesbrough. I think one of the best sort of lower league loans, I think, of the season. He's got 8 goals in 14 games. Looks a real good prospect for them. And they're up against Cambridge, who are got a lot of injuries at the moment, sort of, you know, trying to stay above the bottom four there in League One, particularly stretched at the back. Harrison Dunk, Zeno Ibsen, Rossi, Lloyd Jones, all injured for them. Last game, they lost 5-0 away to Sheffield Wednesday. Only had 5 players on the bench, including a 17-year-old attacker, Kai Yearn, who they had to recall from a loan spell at Chelmsford. They're in a tough run at the moment, lost 5 of their last 6 games, and I think they'll lose at home to Bristol Rovers as well.
Okay, so we've got Reading and Boreham Wood in the FA Cup and Bristol Rovers in the EFL. Thanks very much, Dan.
You're welcome.
Great to hear from Dan Charles, as always. You can catch more of him on the Racing Post Sport website. Mark, let's finish this week's episode with some of your best bets then, and we'll start with the player prop shop.
Yeah, so Harry Kane to score 2 or more goals, 23-10 for Tottenham against Portsmouth. He's 2 away from Jimmy Greaves's all-time Spurs record. I did look at the hat-trick, which would have given him the record outright. I mean, something he's going to want to break as soon as possible. He won't want it hanging over him for too long. But the hat-trick's only 15-2. I prefer him to score 2 or more at 23-10. I mean, he's obviously playing very well, as we've seen, scored against Brentford, got 2 against Palace, also hit the bar against Brentford, and had one cleared off the line against Villa. Pompey sacked the Cowleys earlier on this week, conceded 3 against Charlton, 2 against Ipswich, 2 twice against MK Dons, 2 against Wickham as well. So not defending great. And Tottenham haven't really got the players at the moment to rotate. So, Kane could hit a real big landmark this weekend.
Okay, I see they're sniffing around Dean Smith as well, which certainly won't help things. A long shot for this weekend.
Yeah, I was going to go for Huddersfield to repeat their Boxing Day win at Deepdale against Preston. Preston have been missing a lot of players. Troy Parra, Robbie Bray, Dean Maguire's been out. Jordan Story, Brad Potts missed the win at Stoke. So they are light on numbers. I mean, it's not a great bet, I don't think. But around about 7-2, given that they won their only a couple of weeks ago, it just felt okay to me, really, for Huddersfield.
Plenty of games to get stuck into this weekend with FA Cup. There's going to be a fair action. Treble for this weekend, Mark.
Yeah, Manchester United to beat Everton. We've spoken quite a lot about United sort of improvement and Everton's demise in recent months. So it should be strong enough, Manchester United at home, to continue their fine run. I also think that Newcastle should beat Sheffield Wednesday with few problems the way they're going at the moment. I don't see Eddie Howe making, loads of changes. And even if he does, he got like Sam Maximin on the bench as well. So they should be able to beat a Sheffield Wednesday team that I think, promotion's the main aim for them anyway this season. And then another Premier League team away from home that I think can get the job done, Leeds United against Cardiff. Obviously a grudge match here. There's been some bad feeling down the years between these two teams. But I've mentioned it before. I think the fact that Jesse Marsh is under pressure means he's got to pick a decent team. Can't be messing around too much with the selection. And if he picks a strong team, I think they should have too much for the Championship strugglers.
And if you have one bet this weekend, the strongest one, what would it be? Time for the
Nats? Yes. I mean, FA Cup isn't, I don't think it's the time to be, certainly not betting the farm, that's for sure. So do make sure you keep stakes sensible. But it is, I'm going to stick with Leeds United to win at Cardiff. Cardiff, last three games, no goals, five shots on target in that time as well. So it's not like they've been desperately unlucky. And, you know, if you look at Leeds, they battled hard for that point at Newcastle. They dominated West Ham on the shot count on Wednesday night. 6-2 it was in favour of Leeds. And I think they've actually got some real quality. Their problem is they're not great defensively, but that shouldn't be as big an issue as what it is in the Premier League. You know, coming up against a powder puff Cardiff team. So defensively shouldn't get ripped apart like they do when they're in the top flight. And I think going forward, they've got a lot of quality in the final third. So I would expect them to win that game.
There we go. That's it for this week. Pleasure as always. Thanks to Mark and also Dan Childs. Please don't forget to rate and review the podcast wherever you listen to it. It helps us hugely. And we'll be back again next Thursday. Please do remember to only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. Stay safe. And we'll see you all again very soon. Bye-bye.